Hey, this is Dirk Nowitzki, and you listen to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
Like that. Yeah, it's the Mavericks, all about action. Don't do no acting, no Samuel Jackson. Dirk get the ball, you know that it's magic. Post move deadly, yeah, get tragic. Luka with the ball, yeah, get nasty. He'll drop 30, don't gotta ask him.
Luka with the step back 30. Oh, yeah!
Boy, Chris Stapps, looking like Duncan Nash in the gap. They just want a ring, want to fill the gap. On your team head, I ain't talking hats. Dang, I relax, still at a champ. Defense still coming with the caliber. Flow, the man's the best on the flow. I'm wild, but
how's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and Dallas basketball colleague, Matt Galatson. Matt, it has been forever since we've done this. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, man. It's nice to be back.
It is.
It's been a while.
There hasn't been much to talk about, but even with that, it's still been way too long. So I'm really glad we've got a light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, the NBA is coming back. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait. The format is a little bit confusing, but you know, we'll get it figured out. It'll all come together as we get closer, and I don't know. It sounds pretty exciting. It's a little lopsided in terms of how many teams from each conference, but I think that's appropriate considering the records and everything. So yeah, it sounds like it'll be good.
One of the funny things from this, you know, this plan that Adam Silver presented, and it got approved today, and I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but I think it's funny that they're doing a 8-game deal for the teams that are, you know, the 22 teams that are in playoff contention. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but the 8 teams that are left out, they're locked into those positions. So, Adam Silver effectively ends those teams' tanking efforts for the rest of the season. They're just kind of where they're at. Is that correct?
I mean, as far as I know, the language again was a little bit confusing. I can read from the press release real quick what it says about that, but for the most part, it's I think it's pretty fair. I mean, you don't want teams to come back just to tank anyway. I mean, that's some of the teams don't want to be there, so. I mean, that's funny, yes, but at the same time, I think it's pretty appropriate. So what the press release says is that the 14 NBA lottery teams would be the 8 teams that do not participate in the restart and the 6 teams that participate in the restart but do not qualify for the playoffs. These teams would be seeded in the lottery and assigned odds based on their records through the games of March 11th. And the 16 playoff teams would draft an inverse order of their combined records across regular season games and seeding games.
Okay, so yeah, so those
basically, if you don't make the playoffs, these games that they're going to play in the restart, the teams that don't end up making it won't matter for them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. And that, you know, I know teams will deny tanking, but it's two things. One, you've got a situation where, like, if you look at the tankathon standings, Cleveland, they're 19-46. Well, Minnesota, they were 19-45. So they played one less game than Cleveland, but in the final standings, Cleveland, they're going to end up being a half a game worse, and they're going to get the better, you know, lottery spot. Even though the top three have equal odds, but... Golden State, that means they're locked into the last spot in the league, which means the Mavs are going to get the first pick in the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
So, I mean, that's a good thing. The Mavs own their first round pick, which will be somewhere between 16 and 20, which will be a good pick. I mean, I like how things are shaping up. Obviously, with the restart, you have to think about rust. You have to think about guys that might not have, you know, had a full workout facility at their house or basketball court and stuff, like LeBron probably does. But, you know, health-wise, this was a huge plus for the Mavs as far as, you know, getting healthy. Because I did a Zoom call with Justin Jackson not too long ago, and you guys be on the lookout for that on our Mavs Step Back YouTube channel. But one of the topics we talked about was this, and you know, the Mavs' overall health. And Luka, he struggled with his hand. It kept getting re-aggravated. Seemed like every night, every other night, it was getting slapped. No call. Which I'm not going to go off on that again, but he wouldn't get a call. It was a blatant foul. They'd hit him on the hand. They'd re-aggravate it, and bam, there you go. KP, he'd sit out back-to-backs. That was mostly precautionary, but, you know, he's had a lot more time to chill out. I mean, I just think it's going to be great. I mean, I don't know I know 2 days after the Mavs' last game where they throttled the Nuggets – at American Airlines Center, it was announced that Jalen Brunson wasn't going to return for the season. But at that time, did they know that that they were going to be out for this long and restart? I mean, do we know if he's going to be ready? What's the situation with Dwight Powell? I mean, he's probably not going to come back and, you know, just wait until next season, but overall, all the little nagging stuff with Luka, KP, and the others, it's gone now. So you have to think about the rust, but I don't know. I'm excited about it. I think unprecedented situations call for unprecedented results. And I think that's what's going to happen, Matt.
I'm totally not surprised that you think that's what's going to happen.
I didn't like predict something specific. I mean I'm just saying, you know, crazy things can happen. So
that's true. I do think that this kind of thing is going to favor the younger teams a little bit, because which is what the Mavericks are now. Because it's going to bring a lot of, there's one back-to-back in the regular, quote-unquote, regular season for each team, but also it's a lot of games in quick succession, not necessarily back-to-backs, but one day off. Like in the playoffs, games going to be games every other day, and I think that favors the younger teams a little bit.
Right.
I also think that, like you said, the health thing is invaluable for the Mavericks. I mean, they were – I mean, I don't know if a lot of people remember because it was so long ago, but the Mavericks were really, really beat up at that time, you know. And,
They
were concerned about KP. We were concerned about Luka's hand. We were concerned about Seth and others. So that definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, they were beat up all season. Luka – he missed, I believe, 13 games. KP, he missed 16. But like I said, you know, most of his missed games were due to load management, just being cautious about that. But, you know, for those two guys to miss at least 13 games apiece, and the Mavs were still 40-27 when the season was suspended, I mean, that's really good. I mean, that's one reason for optimism right there. You have your two best players missing double-digit games, and you're still 13 games over 500, and you're only 2.5 games away from, you know, having home court advantage in the playoffs, which, home court means nothing now at a neutral site. But, I don't know why people wouldn't be optimistic with this restart. I think it definitely favors younger teams. And like I said, with something that's never been done before, I mean, things could get crazy. And I'm excited to see it play out.
Yeah, I'm not too upset given the way the season went that the Mavericks won't have any kind of home court advantage in any of these games. they seem to be a better road team.
This is a good thing. They don't have to play at home anymore. So I guess I will go ahead and predict that championship now.
I mean, mathematically, they're still not a lock to make it, but yeah, they're going to make it.
I mean, they would have
7 games up with 8 regular season games to play. So
I mean, look, they would
barring complete disaster.
Let me look at this. I know we're like 5.5 games up on the Grizz for the 8 seed, but
I actually think it's 7. I might be wrong. I haven't looked at it for a few days. Yeah, but
that's probably right. But let me see here. I'm pulling it up now. Yeah, that's right. We're 7 games up on the Grizz. And let me see. Portland, which would be the 9 seed, we're 10.5 games up on Portland. So, yeah, we're a lock to be in the playoffs. But we're not a lock to, to be out of that play-in for the 8 seed.
Right, yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
But to drop down to 8th, I mean, the Mavs would basically have to lose all 8 games, and the Grizz would basically have to win all 8 games. So,
right. And, we're gonna have – I just talked to Kirk Henderson, our buddy, and he's going to jump on in the second half here in about 15 minutes with us. So that'll be awesome, and he can give his thoughts on that too. But, it would take a complete disaster and of like epic fail proportions for them not to make an end. And while growing up a
Luka would Rangers have to just forget and how to play basketball, sorry.
Yeah, but like growing up a Rangers and Mavericks and Cowboys and Stars fan and an Ole Miss fan, I'm used to epic disaster collapses, but I just for once don't see it happening in my life.
No, I mean it'd have to be the worst thing we could ever imagine. I don't see it happening. I think at worst they'll stay where they're at the 7th seed, but I mean I really can see them going up a couple spots. And they're still,
yeah, that would be great.
And I'm fairly certain, you know, the NBA wants these last 8 the last 8 games of the regular season that they're doing. They want it to determine the seeding. So I imagine whatever they come up with schedule wise, it'll be, you know, like there's only 2.5 games separating Utah, Oklahoma City, Houston, and Dallas 4 through 7. So, I mean, I kind of feel like we're going to end up playing the Rockets, the Thunder, and Utah in somewhere in that 8 game stretch. And, you know, when you're only 2.5 games separated between those two, and then they might be playing each other as well, you can make up some ground pretty quick. So, I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I'm ready for them to, you know, finalize that just so we can look at the actual schedule and the dates and, you know, all the different scenarios that could play out. But I think it's cool that they're doing it at Disney World. That's like my wife's favorite place on Earth. And, you know, she'll go with her family during the, like, every other summer. And I never go. I stay home and work because Disney World just isn't really my thing. And now she was like, will you go to Disney World now since the NBA is there? And I was just like, well, still can't do that because Rona's still running around. But, yeah. I would love to go and watch the NBA playoffs on a neutral site like that. That'd be awesome, but I'm just glad that they're actually returning and it should be televised and it'll be awesome.
I'll tell you one thing I don't hate about this, Dalton, is that I, as much as I love going to games and I get to go to them for free and it's a really cool experience being in the locker room and in the press room and all that stuff.
Just get to relax.
I just get to relax on my couch, watch the games right from home, don't have to deal with crowds in the locker room and, you know.
Plenty of time to get a, you know, a game recap in.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time. Don't have to worry about, you know, sitting around, you know, waiting to get quotes and all that stuff. I bet you anything they'll be sending them out, and I can just hang out and enjoy it. It's going to be weird if they don't, like, pump in artificial crowd noise, at least through the TV.
Yeah, which I think they will.
That, I think they will too. But if they don't do that for whatever reason, I think they should probably mic up the players. I think that would be fun.
Yeah. See, some people don't like the idea of pumping in crowd noise because it's not authentic. But I think there's much more of a chance of them doing that than miking up all the players, because there's just if they mic up all the players, then they're not going to be able to broadcast the games live. Because
yeah, there'd have to be at least some kind of a delay.
Yeah,
especially with Luca.
Yeah, so I mean, it'd have to be a delay, and they'd have to censor some stuff out. But I would prefer the second option there. But I'm not opposed to pumping in crowd noise too. I've seen them do that with other sports, and I mean, it sounds fine to me, so I'm good with it.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be different, but it's going to be fun, and I'm just ready for sports again, man.
Oh, me too.
There's been like the Last Dance, and there's been like a couple of, you know, bullshit golf tournaments with like Tiger Woods and Tom Brady and stuff. There's like, you know, and like some soccer, and I think German soccer's back, but like this will be the first. As far as I'm concerned, the first real sporting event that I can really sink my teeth into and get back into.
Yeah.
And what's, you know, another thing that's great about it too is, you know, the season is approximated, assuming the NBA finals go to 7 games. It's going to be approximated to go until October 12th. And which means by the time next season starts, there will barely be any break. There will be like, you know,
which will
the draft.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. There'll be the draft and free agency, and then it'll start back up pretty quick after that.
Yeah, and
so
guess
that'll,
what?
That'll be a nice change.
If that's going to be the schedule, then we're going to have Thanksgiving off. Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Thanksgiving week, not having to do anything. That'll be great. But, yeah, I mean, I made the comment, I think it was a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago. You know, I was sitting on my couch. I was looking on Twitter. I saw something about a race that was going to be happening that Sunday. And I was sitting there actually seriously considering watching a NASCAR race.
Ugh.
And, I mean, I hated that was the case, because I just, that's... I mean, look, if you like NASCAR, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you or anything, but that's just like the most boring sport ever in my eyes. Like, I can't watch a car go in circles for however many laps that they go in. It's just not my thing. But it had gotten to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm about to watch this NASCAR race.
I never got that far.
Well, I didn't either. It got to Sunday, and then I found something else to do. So, but I, for a split second there, I was considering it, and that's a big deal for me because I hate NASCAR. So,
yeah, I'm going to say something a little bit more controversial about that. And if you guys hate me, I'm sorry. It's not meant to be personal, but it's true.
Oh God!
I don't think NASCAR is really a sport.
Okay, there you go. Well,
I don't think driving around in a circle is a sport. I mean, yeah, it's like dangerous, and like you put your life on the line, and like it probably is really tough to. Like the endurance with like the heat and all that stuff is probably really tough.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, if we're being technical,
I think for it to be a sport, there has to be a ball.
Yeah. Well,
or
I mean,
gymnastics. I think gymnastics is a sport.
You know, I think they technically label it as a motor sport, which is accurate. But you know, we just call it a sport generally. But you know, I agree. I don't really view it as a sport. But you know, racing in general has always been a game people have played, you know, throughout the years, and they just do it in cars. So I don't know. I'm not going to say it's not a sport, but I think along the same lines as you. So, but anyway, well, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. You're excited. The Mavs, they're coming back. We're going to get to see Luka do his thing again. I was kind of getting scared. We weren't going to get to see what he could do in the playoffs, but I mean, I'm super excited now. Just published a piece on DallasBasketball.com earlier today about how Luka is born for this. He's born for the bright lights of the playoffs. He did it with Real Madrid. He's done it throughout his, you know, entire professional career. Even when he was with Real Madrid, before he made it up to the, you know, the main squad, he was playing on the 16 and under squad and then the 18 and under. He was still dominating, like, during their little postseason tournaments they did and everything. So he doesn't feel pressure anymore. He loves those moments. And as we all know, the NBA playoffs, that's the brightest stage you can have in basketball. And I'm so excited that we're going to get to see that. So
yeah, and this is something I just thought of as you were talking about that. And I don't know if you talked about this in your piece or not. I can't remember. But this will be a lot like when he was at Eurobasket with Slovenia. You know, his entire team being together on the road in a neutral location, you know, all being together all the time, games, you know, day after day after day. So I think that'll play to his advantage because he's used to that kind of thing. A lot of these other players are going to be used to that kind of thing.
That's exactly right. So, that's really good. I actually didn't mention that, but that's a really good point. I wish I had. But you're right. I mean, this is more of something that Luka's used to. And, you know, he's already dominating the league as it was in year two, almost averaging a 30, 10, and 10 triple-double. But, you know, now the situation will be more like what he was used to overseas. He's just going to be playing NBA basketball. And the NBA players that aren't used to that, you know, they're going to have a harder time adapting to it than he will. So, I mean, I think it'll be great. I'm ready to see it. And I think we're going to go ahead and take a break now. On the other side, we're going to bring in our guy, Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball. We're going to get his thoughts on this NBA 22 team back to action plan. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. We've got our good buddy Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball with us. Kirk, how you doing, man? The NBA's back.
Oh, is it back yet?
It's coming back.
It's coming back in two more months. Two more months might as well be a lifetime.
Another summer.
But we have things to talk about. That's the real key. We have things to actually talk about.
Right.
Now, they might not happen, but we could talk about them.
Right. Yeah, in the first half of this, we just, we basically just put our feelings out there, how we have some hope and seems like there's some light at the end of the tunnel instead of just having this endless, we don't know what's going to happen. And we talked about the 22-team plan that the Board of Governors passed today. And I just want to get your thoughts on it. Overall, what do you like? What do you don't like? How do you think it's going to go over?
I mean, I understand why they did it for 22 teams, but I think it's very much we're trying to make as much money as possible. Like, the fact that the Suns and the Wizards are there is objectively stupid to me. However, the Mavericks play the Suns, and the Suns won't care, and so that's a likely W as far as I'm concerned when I'm looking ahead at the roster and kind of the scheduling type stuff. But, you know, overall, I would say I'm pleased. I'm not sure if you guys have heard this yet. You probably have. In fact, I think I told you about it. On Zach Lowe's podcast, Kevin Pelton mentioned that yesterday, based on the information that he knew, which has turned out, you know, to basically be entirely true, the NBA is like slowly leaks this out perfectly, that he ran 100 simulations on what would happen with the rest of the season, and the Mavs moved up 50% of the time.
Ah.
Which is really an interesting little tidbit that I'm going to hold on to for dear life over the next several months, because, you know, the Mavericks had a lot of crappy things happen to them in short order. They had a really good first 20 games, and then the next 40 or so, we kind of played 500 ball. Now everybody's healthy, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do. You know, the roster is, the rotation's limited. You know, Brunson's gone now, he's out, and then, you know, you leave out Powell, and so that provides some challenges. But I at least, you know, I look forward, like, it's clarifying. Like, there's some things that are going to happen. I'm looking forward to see what, you know, what Carlisle's able to come up with in the laboratory.
Yeah. Another thing Matt and I talked about was, you know, for the Mavs to be 40 and 27 when Luka missed 13 games, KP missed 16 games. And you know that a lot of that was during that 500 ball stretch you were talking about. Well, you know, now they're completely healthy, so now what are they going to look like? And if you're playing another point that Matt brought up that I hadn't thought about until he brought it up a while ago, you know, this setup at a neutral site at Disney World for the NBA playoff, the rest of the season in the NBA playoffs, it's kind of similar to what Luka was accustomed to overseas with EuroLeague, like when they did their postseason stuff. You know, almost campus style. I don't know. What do you think about that? I thought it was a really good point. I think, you know, he's going to be very comfortable playing in that type of environment, whereas other NBA players might, you know, have to become more accustomed to it. What's your thoughts on that?
I do think it really benefits any of the younger guys, the guys that don't necessarily have families, the guys that are a little more used to that sort of approach. I do think that's going to be interesting for Luka, having come from his European background where they play games in a number of days, at least for the start of things. The playoffs is going to be maybe kind of a different deal, but with the 8-game finish, I do think there are things that tilt the Mavericks' way in a really interesting fashion, and it, for me, I'm very curious to see how much of Carlisle's hand that he shows. You know, I've talked about this with you guys on and off going back to probably like December. Like, the Mavericks just don't have any 5-man lineup data. Have you ever looked at this? So their most played lineup, 205 minutes with Hardaway, Powell, Porzingis, Finney-Smith, and Doncic. And so, you know, you essentially toss that one out the window because Powell's out now. And then their second most played lineup is 122 minutes with Hardaway, Curry, Porzingis, Finney-Smith, and Doncic. And that, like, that lineup has a net rating of 11, like 11.7. Like, they're outstanding. It's I'm going to be, you know, really interested just to see what they're able to do in this sort of format, because they're going to play every other day. I think there's, you know, we're going to start to see some of the really, like, I can't believe the league, and mainly like the agents, like, start leaking some of these whines. Like, the season could have been canceled. Heck, it still might be canceled. and like, we're just seeing all these, like, absolutely out, like, ridiculous whines about these guys that you know, are getting to play basketball professionally. I'm not exactly, you know, one of these guys that gets really mad when the players do this stuff, but it's like, this is going to be a really fun experiment that we'll probably look back on in 10 years and say, wow, that was just an interesting time in basketball. You know, I don't know how much we're going to take away from it, but for Luka, I'm really looking forward to seeing what sort of rhythm he can get in.
Yeah, I think it'll benefit him. As far as the formatting goes, I think this is something, you know, there's been whispers that the NBA has been wanting to start, you know, around Christmas anyway, and, you know, shorten the season up a little bit going forward. So I don't know if Adam Silver will take advantage of this and use it as a reason to change everything like that going forward. I'm not sure, but I mean, what do y'all think? Matt, you can chime in on this too, but I mean, if the NBA going forward did start in December, or, you know, later December around Christmas, and just ran through, say, July or early August, I mean, what would y'all feel about that? I mean, do you like that idea, or would you rather just keep it how it is?
Well, Matt, selfishly, you go first. Well, selfishly, I love that idea because I also cover football for a living. Yeah. So having basketball and football going at the same time in October and November and December is very difficult sometimes. It's a lot of work, and I get worn down. So if they're split up like that,
especially when you cover the Dallas Cowboys,
it is exhausting. But so selfishly for that reason, I like it a lot. I've always thought there was too many games. So if they decide to shorten the season, I think that's great. It'll give players more rest. They can, you know, maybe spread the games out a little bit, cut a few games off here and there, whatever. I love that idea personally. I know it's probably more difficult for people with families and stuff like that, with, you know, like vacations and summer and all that stuff. But since I'm single and no kids and have no worries like that, I am totally fine with it.
Look, it's been so long since I've been on like a real vacation. Like I may get away to somewhere like an hour away for a weekend, but it's been so long since I've been on an actual vacation that I've forgotten what it feels like. So it wouldn't affect me regardless. But Kirk, what do you think?
Hate it, but you know, that's because, you know, if I were a fan, I'd probably find it interesting because, you know, you get summer goes on, you know, I'm on the East Coast. I also wonder if it really applies like based on like time zone, because, you know, when the sun goes down in the middle of winter and I got back, you know, sun goes down at 5 o'clock and I have basketball games that come on at 7, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
In the summertime, when the sun's up till 8:30, 8:45, 9 o'clock at night sometimes, we're in, and then basketball games are coming on at 7, I'm just going to have a harder time wanting to turn it on. Now, from my you know, managing editor of Mavs Moneyball place, I absolutely hate it because I just look forward to, you know, a little bit of that summer break. I know people are going to say, oh, you still get a break, but, you know, getting a break in like, October sucks. I don't know. I mean, I'm slowly trying to kind of come to grips with it. We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, it's so weird because I think I watched more games this year and then Luka's rookie season than I did the, you know, I missed games, the, you know, going back to you know, like 15, 16 and stuff like that. I was feeling, you know, when the Mavericks are must watch television, it's a lot harder to step away. And then, you know, when they're kind of crappy to watch, I didn't really mind about it. And so it's like this conflating sense of, I really want to watch the Mavericks because they're awesome and fun, and also I have a family and I should probably spend some time with them. So like, you know, you run those two things together, and like eventually my son will be old enough and, you know, we'll watch some games together and that sort of stuff will be fun. So like I at the moment I'm not as pouty as I've been. That could resurface, particularly like I think like starting games on Christmas is just rude.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do? Are you trying to get sports writers killed? You know, I know it's one thing when the games are already like playing on Christmas, but like something about starting on Christmas just feels ruder. It's like, you know, I don't know. I'm all over the place on it.
I think if I remember correctly, when I read some of the details from today, I think right now the proposed plan is like they'd start December 1st. You might have to correct me on that, but I think the rumor was Christmas before all that came out, and then I want to say that they said December 1st today, so that would be better. Like I was talking with Matt a little bit earlier about, you know, I kind of like the idea that there won't be any NBA during Thanksgiving. Just, you know, me personally, you know, I have two little brothers. My oldest little brother, he moved to Iowa. He's doing chemical engineering stuff that's way over my head. So, but you know, he moved off to there. I only get to see him like 2 times a year now. So, he enjoys watching the Mavs. When he comes back, if basketball season is going on, we watch him. But you know, the rest of my family doesn't. So during Thanksgiving week, if I'm spending a bunch of time with them, I find myself, like Kirk said, you know, I'll be looking at my phone or watching TV or whatever, just kind of distracted. And it would be nice to not have any games whatsoever during that time, to spend more time with family. So I like the idea. I don't have any complaints. I'm just, like I said earlier, I'm just glad that we have something to talk about, something to, you know, get excited about. And it's not just like this endless, you can't see any light at the end of the tunnel kind of situation. So,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Here's a question for y'all that I have is, do you see any potential? I mean, the plan was approved. It looks like everything's going to go forward. But do you see any potential roadblocks leading up to this? Or
do you think we're made in shade?
It's got to be testing related, right? I mean,
so I have strong takes on this one for once in my life. I'm a man of such calm opinions. I know you're going to be surprised by this.
I'm shocked.
But so for the Mavericks specifically, getting Luka and KP back in the country and then them following the guidelines is going to be a pain in the butt. The Department of Homeland Security basically created the line pass that NBA players and any overseas players can basically fill out and then come back into the country and not have any problems. But that in and of itself means a problem existed. So to come back into the country is hard in and of itself, and then they have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks, which you know the Mavericks will absolutely make them do. So, like, on a sheer timeline basis, Luka needs to be on a plane now. Same with Porzingis. Like, these are, you know, if this is kind of what we're talking about. So, specifically for the Mavericks, I see some pitfalls, which, you know, I kind of think everybody knew this was coming, so maybe I'm making much ado about nothing. But, like, I've gotten the feeling watching Luka that as we watch him as a Maverick, he's going to be so much more of a free spirit than Dirk ever was, and it's going to drive us crazy from time to time. Because that dude just gets on a plane and on a boat and goes places. He doesn't tell anyone. Like, Dirk's a homebody. Like, Luka is more of an adventurer, so it's going to be kind of interesting to see what happens with him over the, you know, over the course of his career, but also specifically for this. That's the pitfall I worry about with the Mavericks. But I'm not sure about the NBA. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the biggest pitfall is going to be, you know, how are they going to keep guys from going and doing stuff to where they could potentially, you know, get the virus and it ends up spreading amongst teams. You know, they said it's going to be like a campus environment, but I read somewhere that, you know, players would be able to come and go as they please, and then they'd just be tested when they come back. And I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, if you're going to do it and you're going to do it at a, you know, one location, and if you're going to be campus style, I mean, I don't think they should just put them on complete lockdown, but I mean, I feel like that would kind of be best in this in this kind of situation, especially given the nature of the virus and how it spreads. So, I mean, I could see that being an issue if they just let guys come and go as they please and they come back and somebody catches it and it spreads, and then next thing you know, they'd end up having to completely cancel everything. So, that is one of my few fears, but you know, I'm trying not to think about that. I'm pretty hopeful that this is going to work and we're going to get to see the NBA playoffs this year.
I have a take, Matt, please share yours. And then I have a take I must share, cause I've not actually said this out loud. I've been thinking about it.
This is more of a quip than a take. It just scares me with people like James Harden on the loose in Orlando. You never know where he's going to go. He'll find the one strip club that's like halfway open and doing like drive-through buffet or something.
Hey, so, and you know he is ready to get back at it, because I don't know if I'm sure y'all saw that picture of James Harden. It looked like he had been lost in the wilderness for the last 2 months.
Oh yeah.
They were coming down a mountain or something, him and some other guys, and it just looked like, oh my goodness. James Harden, he hasn't like eaten anything in a few months, and his beard grew 2 times its normal size. But yeah, I agree. That's pretty funny. But Kirk, you had a take you wanted to get off.
I do. So here it is. I firmly believe the NBA has taken a gamble. They say all the right things, and they're just to make everyone feel right, but they are taking a gamble that this virus in Florida, with the place with the environment that they set up, is not going to be the risk that we think it is or thought it is, you know, a few weeks ago. And then, you know, it's basically these games are starting essentially 8 weeks from now. They're taking a gamble that this is not going to be a thing in 8 weeks. And I think there is some credence to that, because frankly, you know, we've seen Texas open up a little bit. They're seeing some rises in cases, but hospitalization rates are kind of staying flat. And then we're also seeing, you know, in the protests that are happening around the country, lots and lots of people together. And not necessarily practicing social distancing. So we're going to know within a month if things are going to go badly or not. Yeah. So I think when you know, you look at that from the big picture of what the NBA is doing, they're essentially putting it out there by their actions that they don't think this is a big deal. And I don't have a really opinion on that. I it's a little baffling to me, but it's the choices that they've made. And I think we're going to see that in action, because everything they're saying, like, oh yeah, we're going to be testing, players are going to be separated from one another, but they can go to dinner and their families can go to the theme parks. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Like, so that's kind of my take that, and I think the crows will get louder the closer we get to basketball, but if cases are what they are, then, maybe the NBA made the right gamble. But I also think things could go really badly, and then 6 weeks from now, they just pull out entirely on this.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing we've learned throughout this whole process is, we've heard everybody say this, we've said it ourselves, but, the virus is what, it makes its own timeline. You can't really control how it's going to react, and, I do think they are taking a gamble. Now, they are, that being said, they're consulting with all the right people, all the right professionals that, know a whole lot more than I do about it. So, I'm sure it's a calculated risk, but they're definitely taking one. But I'm excited. I know you guys are. We could keep talking about this forever, but we're going to pace ourselves so we can come back on here next week and talk about some stuff too. But Kirk, we really appreciate you coming on and talking with us, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
Uh-huh. It has been too long. I enjoy actually talking. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you've been on here a handful of times, and we'll definitely do it again. But it's good to hear both of y'all's voices, and hopefully we can do it a lot more here in the coming week. So appreciate it.
Take a step back, reminiscing about the old days when I hooped outside with my friends and drunk that OJ. Crossover, doing step backs in a pair of J's. These days I'm about my chips like a bag of Lay's. I ain't lying when I tell you people ain't the same. How you real when you say your soul for the fame? Do anything for a dollar. I'ma stay patient cause I know God promised me a lot of. Looked up to Dirk and MJ instead of blue collar. Excited at the idea of being a true baller. Riding in the Benz, a copper Impala. Feeling like I made it, now they trying to holler. This how we thinking life's supposed to be. Media keeping all my friends close to me. Feeding me all the lies and propaganda in my eyes. I've been here forever, they thinking that I just arrived. Now step back and go on more of a letter. I treat this rap game like it's target practice. And I ain't even got an aim in my seeing headshots just for saying my name. Now I'm 18, they say I'm acting different. Labels call my phone, but I'm lagging.